Greetings in the Lord. It is the 20th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to repentance and faith today comes from Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Returning again to the thought of modesty and of clothing and looking through it from the lens of Scripture. Adam and Eve had made loin coverings from fig leaves, but it was not enough. They needed to be fully clothed. The Lord God, that is the God of the universe, made clothing and covered them. God killed animals, revealing that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood, and he covered them. The principle of atonement taught by God in the garden is that the innocent die for the guilty. Sin had exposed them, and the only clothing that could truly cover their shame would cost the life of the innocent. Brothers, if we are going to be clothed, we must be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the only innocent one. And so before we look at some practical helps about clothing, let us be reminded that we need to be clothed in his righteousness. We need this. And so as we come to worship him today, we must be coming in repentance. Now let's look at some principles of clothing we learn from the clothing our God made for Adam and Eve. Number one, clothing should be moderate and not draw much attention to oneself. The clothing God made was not elaborate or ornamental. It was plain and humbling. Matthew Henry says that when God made clothes for our first parents, he made them warm and strong, but coarse and very plain. Not robes of scarlet, but coats of skin. Their clothes were made not of silk and satin, but plain skins, not trimmed nor embroidered. None of the ornaments which the daughters of Zion afterwards invented and prided themselves in. Let the poor that are meanly clad learn hence not to complain. Having food and a covering, let them be content, for they are as well done as to Adam and Eve were. And let the rich that are finely clad learn hence not to make the putting on of apparel their adorning. 1 Peter 3:3. God is to be acknowledged with thankfulness, not only in giving us food, but in giving us clothes also. John Calvin also makes this point. He says, "The reason why the Lord clothed them with garments of skin appears to me to be this, because garments formed of this material would have a more degrading appearance than those made of linen or of wool. God therefore designed that our first parents should be in such dress, and therefore behold their own vileness, just as they had before seen it in their nudity, and should thus be reminded of their sin. In the meantime, it is not to be denied that he would propose to us an example by which he would accustom us to a frugal and inexpensive mode of dress. And I wish those delicate persons would reflect on this who deem no ornament sufficiently attractive unless it exceed in magnificence. Not that every kind of ornament is to be expressly condemned, but because when immoderate eloquence and splendor is carefully sought after, not only is that master despised who intended clothing to be a sign of shame, but war is, in a certain sense, carried on against nature." What are they saying? Well, clothing is meant to remind us of our sin, and therefore it ought to be modest, not something to deck us out in pride. Clothing should fit the occasion. It is certainly not a thing, as I've already said, to be proud about. Men who peacock around in their clothing not only are grossly effeminate, but are also immodest in their dress. We've all known men who spend an inordinate amount on their clothing. And they spend much time on their dress and their appearance, so much so that it's effeminate and it is immodest. Women must also wear fine and expensive clothing, and who are constantly checking out the latest fashion trends, those women who feel that way are immodest, even if they are fully clothed. And so beginning with modesty in the Bible, we're reminded that it's also a warning against our pride about being always about the most expensive things in this world. The second principle that we learn from this is that the type of clothing God made reveals to us that clothing was meant to cover the body. The covering God made covered from the neck to the knees. We learn this from the Hebrew word translated as garment in the New American Standard Version or as coats in the King James Version. The word used is the word transliterated as ketanet. It's also used to describe the robes of priests in the Bible, as well as the coat of many collars given to Joseph by his father. It can be translated as garment, robe, tunic, and dress. And it comes from the Hebrew root word for cover. Jeff Pollard, in a study of the word, explains, although we have no snapshots of Adam and Eve's apparel, the word coats is consistently used throughout the Old Testament to mean a tunic-like garment. The ketanet was the ordinary garment worn by man and woman as seen in the tunics of skin worn by Adam and Eve. The shirt-like garment usually had long sleeves and extended down to the ankles when worn as a dress coat. Another description tells us that it was made of linen or wool. Adam's was made of animal skin, and it reached down to the knees or to the ankles. All these sources agree regarding the ketanet. It covered the body from the least the neck to the knees, while sometimes reaching mid-calf or all the way to the feet. Here's the point. The clothing God made for Adam and Eve was long and flowing. It was meant to cover their body and thus their shame. He covered them in a tunic. Now, does this mean that we must all wear robes and long tunics like Muslims do in the Middle East? No. But we sure learn the principle of clothing from what God made for Adam and Eve. And the principle is this, that clothing should cover the body. It's not meant to be tight and form-fitting, showcasing all the curves and crevices of the body. Leggings, yoga pants, short shorts, biker shorts, miniskirts, halter tops, tops that reveal cleavage, and etc. are not modest. Christian men and women should remember that when God designed clothing, He made it to clothe the body. While Adam covered his privates, the Lord covered all of Adam's body. We must be modest and clothed. Now, these are a few principles from this passage regarding clothing and modesty. Now, as we think about this in our own lives, where have we failed? Men, where have we failed to uphold this standard for our wives and our daughters? See, it's our responsibility to uphold this standard. And oftentimes we let our women walk around half naked. We let them dress immodestly. Or maybe we ourselves dress immodestly, spending so much time on how we look in vanity. May the Lord give us repentance. So as we come before His throne today to receive His word and to hear from it, and as we've already heard from it, let us cry out to Him for the mercy that only He can bestow. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into Your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from You if You dealt with us as we deserve. We've sinned against You, and we have offended You, O Lord. And yet, O Lord, we acknowledge that You are a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to You, and You cover us. You cover our shame. And so we humbly ask You, for the sake of Christ Your Son, to show mercy to us, to forgive us our offenses, forgive the sins of our youth, the sins of our old age. By Your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouth and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by You. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with You and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Dear brothers, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Therefore, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, your resolve to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 106, verse 32 through 48. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. They also provoked him to wrath at the waters of Meribah, so that it went hard with Moses on their account. Because they were rebellious against his spirit, he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with the blood. Thus they became unclean in their practices and played the harlot in their deeds. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Then he gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times he would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry, and he remembered his covenant for their sake, and relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness. He also made them objects of compassion in the presence of all their captors. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. And let the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen and hallelujah. Brothers, be mindful that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to the Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 5 through chapter 7. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When the Ashdodites arose early in the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him in his place again. But when they rose early in the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy on the Ashdodites, and he ravaged them and smote them with tumors, both Ashdod and his territories. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is severe on us and on Dagon our God." So they sent and gathered all the lords of the Philistines to them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they said, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath." And they brought the ark of the God of Israel around. After they brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city with great confusion. And he smote the men of the city, both young and old, so that the tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And the ark of God came to Ekron. The Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place, so that it will not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we shall send it to its place." They said, "If you send away the ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but you shall surely return to him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him?" And they said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the Lord of the Philistines, for one plague was on all of you and on your lords. So you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that ravaged the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you, your gods and your land. Why then do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had severely dealt with them, did they not allow the people to go when they departed? Now therefore, take and prepare a new cart and 2 milk cows, on which there has never been a yoke, and hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them. Take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which you return to him as a guilt offering in a box by its side. Then send it away that it may go. Watch, if it goes up by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done this great evil. But if not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened to us by chance. Then the men did so and took the 2 milk cows and held them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. They put the ark of the Lord on the cart and the box with the golden mice and the likenesses of their tumors. And the cows took the straight way in the direction of Beth Shemesh. They went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines followed them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they raised their eyes and saw the ark and were glad to see it. The cart came into the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite, and stood there, where there was a large stone. And they split the wood of the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the box that was in it, in which were the articles of gold, and put them on the large stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrifices that day to the Lord. When the 5 lords of the Philistines saw it, they returned to Ekron that day. These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a guilt offering to the Lord, 1 for Ashdod, 1 for Gaza, 1 for Ashkelon, 1 for Gath, 1 for Ekron. And the golden mice, according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the 5 lords, both of fortified cities and of country villages. The large stone on which they set the ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite. He struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck down all the people, 50,070 men, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. The men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God, and whom shall she go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you." And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the sons of Israel removed the bells and the Ashtaroth and served the Lord alone. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." They gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them, so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more within the border of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. So there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He used to go annually on circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then his return was to Ramah, for his house was there, and there he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Now, brothers, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from John chapter 6, verse 22 through 42. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, the Father, God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him, because he said, "I'm the bread that came down out of heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verses 21 through 28. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross are burning lips and a wicked heart. He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. Father, we come and we need to seek repentance for being contentious. God, we are too quick to kindle strife. At the same time, do not let us be those like fools that are deceitful, that disguise hatred in our lips, who lay up deceit in our heart. Do not be the false, gracious ones, Lord. Let us not be that. But rather, Lord, let us speak truth, manly truth, righteous truth, and speak it, Lord, in love. I pray, Lord, as we go throughout this week, that you would enable us to do this well. Help us to fight the battles you call us to. Fight the battle against sin, against this world, and against the devil and his schemes. Thank you, Lord, for your power to be able to fight this battle. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.